Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Back in 2013, the former Labour Party Senator Jimmy Hart was found collapsed on a Dublin street after an Ireland soccer match. He underwent emergency surgery and spent time on a life support machine. And then 2 years on from then, in 2015, he himself described himself as being almost back to square one in a good way after a series of intense treatments in various hospitals. However, following a deterioration in his health, he moved to a nursing home just before the outbreak of COVID. His wife Mary, who joins me on the line now, has questioned the money being spent on major trauma services in hospitals if similar funding isn't provided for community care. Mary Hart, good morning to you.
Good morning, Claire. How are you?
I'm very well, and it's good to have you with us, and thank you for telling us about this very personal story. And I think there's a lot of people listening who probably remember what happened to Jimmy, and they might be surprised to hear that while he recovered so well, and he spoke himself about how well he was doing in 2015, he then went downhill again, did he?
Yeah. And I mean, you know, occasionally you have to expect the unexpected with acquired brain injury. Now, I have to say that, remember, in the very, very beginning, we went from the complete trauma to survival. We just wanted him to live. And that was in Beaumont Hospital at that stage. And they worked miracles. And we worked with them. And he did extremely well. And then we brought him home eventually after he had been through James's Hospital, Beaumont, National Rehabilitation Hospital, Letterkenny Medical, Royal Hospital, Letterkenny Medical again. So we went through it all.
Yeah.
And yes, he did. He had survived extremely well. Funny, I was looking at a video somebody sent me, and it was of Jimmy walking totally unaided in 2018, unaided without sticks at all.
At home, this was.
And this was in his actually in his family home in Rafoe. We'd gone visiting there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so the proof, like you're not making it up. The proof, the evidence is there, the photographs, the videos of how far Jimmy had come forward. And I mean, it was really hard work. You know, it took a mountain of people to get Jimmy to that stage. And then you come home. You come through the, you go in the front door of the trauma centres and hospitals and national rehabilitation, and then you come out the back door to go home, and then you're left with this dearth of community-based rehabilitation services. You know, you're really on your own, and you're trying. And the best way I can describe it, Claire, is when you're navigating services at local community level, it's like if you can imagine a pinball machine.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what it's like. And Jimmy's the ball. And I'm pulling the lever, hoping the ball will collide with as many different HSE health and social services that's in the pinball machine before he falls down the drain of the machine. And it's hit and miss. You know, they may be there, they may not be there. You're begging for them. You're fighting for them. And I've spent 10, 11 years battling to get these services in place. And there's a national strategy there. And there was an implementation strategy, 19 to 21, to put, you know, to support, first of all, the trauma centres, which are being supported to a certain extent financially. But you're absolutely wasting your money pumping money into the trauma centres if they're not underpinned then by a good local community-based rehabilitation service.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. So you're in the hospital in the crisis situation, and you're looked after so well. And then you say you come out the back door, and you're thinking, "Well, what do I do now?"
But you did. There's no signposting.
But you did make great progress, and he was doing very well. Okay. He said himself. But then the slide happens, and he starts to regress. And it was just before COVID. Then the decision was made by yourselves and all of the healthcare professionals that he needed to live in a nursing home.
Yeah, I think what happened was with Jimmy, in Jimmy's case, his mental health began to deteriorate with panic attacks and that. And it was very difficult in the home. And remember, I had, you know, a young child as well. So it was very, very difficult to continue, and I did it for far too long, probably. The HSE had their eye off the ball, probably to a certain extent, yes, assuming everything was going swimmingly well. I was just constantly putting out fires at home and trying to contain the distress of it all. But in the end, we decided, then COVID struck. So now I'm standing outside the nursing home looking in the window, and I know it's not the right place for Jimmy. He's too young to be there. I know in my heart of hearts. But did he need some intensive care at that stage? Absolutely. You know, was it an episode? Was it just another acute phase he was going into? Absolutely, it definitely was, because he has come out, in fairness, the other side of that. So his faculties are certainly not lost. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. From a cognitive point of view, he's still totally competent. Not totally, but 90% cognitively competent.
So
reads the newspapers, follows the news,
right.
Follows politics. He's emotionally connected to me and all the people that he knows and loves. Is he physically compromised? Absolutely. He's back in a wheelchair. His behaviour is generally okay, but yes, there are triggers that might set him off. It might be other people's incompetence, or it might be his own intolerance of a situation. So that can happen. And that has to be expected, because it is an acquired brain injury. The brain was, you know, it's damaged. But it is capable of so much potential. And Jimmy's potential, it wasn't lost because of the brain injury, by the way. It was lost because of the lack of community neuro rehab services at local level. And that's where we're falling down. There's absolutely no point in having a wonderful strategy implementation, traumatic services being pumped. And they do need money. But believe you me, the traumatic services need the funding. But there's absolutely no point in throwing money at them unless it's underpinned by this community-based rehabilitation.
And Jimmy is what? He's 66 now, isn't that right?
He's 66 now, so he is eligible to be in a nursing home, sadly.
But you just don't believe it's
to be there. No, it doesn't mean he has to be there.
And listen, when we think about him in the video walking, is it your belief that had the right support services been in place that he would still be walking now?
100%. Mm-hmm. 100%. I have absolutely no doubt. Not only would he be incapable of walking, you have to remember Jimmy was even writing for the newspapers at one stage, for the local newspaper here. He was writing sports articles. So he was capable of all of that. That just doesn't disappear overnight. Even if he's aging, I would expect a certain amount of deterioration, but certainly not to the extent that we've lost. Mm-hmm. Absolutely not. And had the right services been wrapped around Jimmy, and when I say the right services, I mean from a community-based rehabilitation service, after the acute services and like intensive care unit and BOMAD, you need physiotherapy, you need speech and language, you need especially neuropsychology, which was completely absent up until a couple of years ago, until we fought for it and we got some of it. And I have to say that made a massive difference, even within the nursing home, because he was able to train staff. You know, it's a specialised area, acquired brain injury, and they needed to be trained in how to respond appropriately, whether it was behavioural outbursts or whether it was emotional distress, how to behave, what triggers. You need to know what the triggers are, and you ensure you're not inflicting them on people. Occupational therapy, like the ability to go back to education, the ability to go back to work. He actually did an educational course locally here at one stage, very early on. Mm-hmm. Social for Jimmy now. He was absolutely a social person, loves meeting people. So I ensure that every single week, and fought for that, pay for the taxi service up and down, that's fine, don't mind doing it, has to be done. And Jimmy meets people every single week in the shopping centre. Same place, he has to have his cappuccino, and he'll recognise people long before I'll recognise them, and say that's so-and-so, and has a conversation, perfectly capable of having a conversation.
But you just feel that
sad.
He's lost a lot of the potential that he had, say, back in 2015.
Oh, 100%. Mm-hmm. And I mean, he's lost it not because of the brain injury. I have to stress that. I expected him to lose a certain amount. I never expected 100%, nor would I. I mean, it would be unrealistic to expect 100%. But by God, had he, you know, he gave us far more than we ever imagined. He couldn't walk, he couldn't talk, he couldn't speak, he couldn't eat. That it was, you know, he was tube-fed, everything. And he came full circle. And now we're back, not far from it that we're back at square one, but he is completely compromised physically. And to be honest with you, like, when I think of it, he went into the National Rehabilitation Hospital, and it was far too soon for him to go there, to be honest with you, because he needed, his brain actually needed rest then, and his body, and probably a little bit of physio, but he wasn't capable of what they were, what needed to provide. And as you know, in the National, we have fantastic service. But it's going very, you know, it's going at good speed. Jimmy wasn't up to that speed at that stage.
Yes.
So they made the right decision then, and they sent him to the Royal Hospital. And I thought, oh, my God, is he ever going to come out of here? And he did. But they had a lovely mix of the rest and the physiotherapy. And that got him back on his feet again. And it was the right decision at that time. But he is now ready, I still think. Had they done it 2 years ago, but Jimmy, if services were flexible enough to go, OK, let's look at where he's at now. Can we now get him back into the National Rehabilitation Hospital now that he's much more supple and much more able than he was the first time he went into it after
But that's not possible, is it not, at this stage?
Well, I sincerely hope, if anybody's listening to me, that it is.
Yeah. You see, I'm listening to you, Mary.
Had that been done 2 years ago, he'd be walking now.
Yeah, I've heard you say over the course of this conversation, and I've read in your piece in the Irish Times as well, by the way, there are gorgeous pictures of you with Jimmy and one of your children, Amy Rose, with Jimmy in that piece, if people want to have a look. But I hear you saying, I fought and I fought and I fought. Like, are you still exhausted from this all these years on?
Yes. And to be honest with you, when Jimmy went into the nursing home, I think there was probably a feeling out there that was, well, Mary might get a little break now. You know, Mary might get a break. You don't get a break when somebody's in a nursing home. I'm still going in there practically, unless I'm ill myself, I'm in there every day. Because I can't bring infection in with me. If I have the flu, I can't go to the nursing home.
Yeah.
So, and as often as I can, I am in there practically every day. Now, I'm entertaining. I'm singing for him. I'm singing for everybody else in it. I'll do whatever it takes. But we eventually got what I would call sort of it was reasonably a multidisciplinary approach at the time in the nursing home. And, you know, and that was to get the neuropsychologist on board, mental health services on board, because you have to remember, for somebody that was a high flyer like Jimmy, all of a sudden, you know, they're stripped of everything that they were familiar with. So that's bound to have an emotional impact as well. So you have to keep an eye on that at all times as well. And then we had the HSE. Physical and sensory were very supportive in terms of getting funding maybe for care so that Jimmy could go downtown. Even though I go down as well, you know, I mean, I have to go simply because he's looking for me to go. And that's fine. And I love being in his company because he's great company and he still has his sense of humour. He's never lost that. There's so much.
And physically, Mary, are you saying to me today that you believe it's not too late for him to progress from where he is now?
The truth is, I don't think so. But I also think that if somebody's in an institution for 2 or 3 years, they can become institutionalized very easily, as you know. And even from my perspective as a carer, sometimes you have to, you start then, you know, my expectations were so high. And then when you're pushing against, you know, brick walls, a lot of the time you're going, sometimes your expectations are going downwards slightly.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, you're reducing your expectations. And I don't want that. Mm-hmm. And you get tired, and it's very easy to let that happen.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm battling again. I've got my energy back again. And and I hate to use the word battle, but going forward, we have a wonderful opportunity now. Like, we'll have a new Minister for Health, hopefully, whenever the government is selected. And the Minister for Health is selected particularly. You know, I have local TDs here elected. We have 5 wannabe senators here. Get your finger out and start using those levers of power when you're in Dáil Éireann and start pushing for proper, all-inclusive, individualised, community-based rehabilitation services for people, not just with acquired brain injury, like people, you know, with strokes, MS, Parkinson's, all of those. Like, it's not just Jimmy Hart, you know, because I'm hoping it's not too late for Jimmy. And I don't think it is, because he's got all his other faculties are much better, bar now the physical has definitely has gone way back. It's definitely not lost. He's able to raise his legs, so the power is still there, not as far as he used to be able to do. So so we really need to look at, you know, making sure that resources, the Minister for Health now, and supported by our local TDs and senators.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. It's community wraparound resources. Once you've been through the hospital system, that's what you're saying that, that Jimmy
Absolutely.
Needs and other people who are in similar situations. Well, you're a wonderful advocate for him, Mary, and thank you so much for coming on here and telling us about Jimmy. And will you give him our best today and let him know okay. that we were all asking for him? That's Jimmy Hart there and Mary Hart, who you heard from. We'll be back after this break.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.